It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading with verse 22, chapter 2, verse 22. And as you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Visit our website. It's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And I would love for you to check it out. We've got many studies there. Our plan of salvation is presented there very clearly for you. And so you can come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And also our Constitution is there as well, plus many studies. And so I hope that you would take a look at it, enjoy it. ParkviewBibleChurch at gmail.com or ParkviewBible at gmail.com will give us an email as well if you'd like. And so hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and begin the study. Acts chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel of the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity today to come together and enjoy this study. I ask that you'll just guide and lead us through it, that each and every one that's listening will come to know you as their Lord and Savior, or at least, and then after trusting in you as their Savior, that they would then grow closer to you and walk with you each and every day. So please, dear Father, just guide and lead us today through this wonderful study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this, we find that there is much going on here as the day of Pentecost, and Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. And then it begins, and we have a wonderful study here of the things that he has proclaimed. And he speaks of Joel, quotes Joel in the Old Testament, and the part that we have discussed and cover very well here is the concerning that God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And as we looked at that, and we find that also in verse 18, and on my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And so we know that we have the Word of God. We have it in its completeness. Everything that we need is in this precious book. And so please that you understand that if the Lord is showing you to do something, go to the Word of God and confirm it. And because if you know Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit lives within your heart, and he will guide and lead you through whatever decision that you need to make. But please, first of all, come by faith to the Lord Jesus and be born again, as John chapter 3 tells us with Nicodemus and the Lord Jesus. And so we hope, and then some of this, as we talked about, will come in later times. In verse 19, I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. We know that some of these things are in the future, and we have not seen those as yet, but they will come, I promise you. And so we have gotten ourselves into the 23rd verse here. And so as we look at verse 23, we see that him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up. And so we're going to enjoy that study. We're going to take a real good look at that. And it's so important that we see it. Each and every time we have an opportunity to study. And so we find, first of all, as it shows him being delivered, it's surrendered into the hands of the enemy there by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Now, here's where we're going to spend some time, because God, he had his son, and the son, the Lord Jesus, agreed, and they have surrendered to the enemy. As the scripture tells us, there could have been angels from heaven come down, and without question protected the Lord Jesus, so to speak, saved the Lord Jesus from the cross. But we know that his purpose was to die on the cross of Calvary to save you and me. And so let's go to some scripture verses here. We're going to go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Verse 10 and 11, John 19, chapter 19, verse 10. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? But Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Jesus himself spoke clearly to Pilate, instructing him that, yes, I am here, but I am here by my own will. All this was planned before the foundation of the world. And when we come back here, we find a foreknowledge, that word foreknowledge here. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Foreknowledge. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 10. Got a lot of verses of scripture we're going to look at today. Mark chapter 10. Verse 33 and 34. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests, unto the scribes. They shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. They shall mock him, shall scourge him, and spit upon him, shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. Beautiful verse of scripture. That's the Lord Jesus speaking. Lord Jesus told them, let me read verse 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him. Foreknowledge of God. The foreknowledge of God. Let's look at some other verses of scripture here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 2. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Verse 26 of that same chapter. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Exactly what we just read. Let's go to John chapter 19. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 19. Verse 16. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. With all this, we have a very full understanding of what John chapter 3, verse 16 has to say. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever ever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Once again, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Everything we've read was planned before the foundations of the world. Let's go to another scripture that's very good, 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, beginning to read with verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. He took our place. He took our place. Jesus. I just hope that you can accept him as your Savior. The work is over. The work is finished. He went to the cross, died on the cross, and then rose again 3 days later. The work is done. But what are you going to do about it? Are you going to recognize that you're a lost sinner and you need Jesus as your Savior and accept him? Back to Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel. Determinate counsel. He was delivered by the determinate counsel. That determinate means defined, marked out. It's like the boundaries on a plot of ground. It was set. And if you go to Acts chapter 10, verse 42. It says, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Now that word ordained is the same. And so we need to understand that it's something that was set, the determinate. It was set. It was planned. It was totally defined in any and every way. And that word ordained is the same as determinate in Acts chapter 10, verse 42. So it was set. Jesus' death was no accident. God designed it. It was a perfect plan, the plan of salvation, and it was set before the foundations of the world. Please understand that. Please understand that. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 18. John 10, 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, we're going to back up just a little bit here because we need to understand. Verse 17 says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. And it's clear, it says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So, I'm going to ask you the question, who killed Jesus? The Jews? The Romans? Did we kill Jesus? It's very true that sin demanded his death. It was necessary that one die if sinners were to be saved, made acceptable unto God. So in that respect, yes, we're responsible, very responsible for the Lord Jesus going to the cross. But my dear friend, we need to see that it was God's plan. It was God's plan. You know, the Jews demanded it. The Romans are the one that nailed him to that cross. But it was all of our sin that caused it. But no man killed Jesus. God the Father loved us so much that he sent his Son. Sent his Son to die on the cross. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 53. I hope you know your Bible, and I hope you had the opportunity to go back and forth and look at this. And we know that in 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Unto himself. Isaiah 53:4 is where we're going. Isaiah 53:4. Surely I have borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Smitten of God. God the Father. God the Father planned this. John 10:18, once again, as we just read. John 10:18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. What did we just read back here in Isaiah 53:4? Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. God the Father. Jesus literally took his life in his own hands, and then he passed it back to the Father. What a beautiful picture. Let's go to Luke 22, 23. Luke 23, verse 46. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, unto thy hands I command my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. You see, there's a day to be born and a day to die, and we have that set before us. We have no control of it. But our God, he controlled and set the day Jesus would come to this earth and take on the flesh of man, 100% man, 100% God. The day was set before the foundations of the world. God knew we were going to break away from him and sin and be condemned, and he had to have a means. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please, please, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful verse of scripture there that we looked at in Luke 23:46. Father, unto thy hands I command my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. Back to Acts now, as we continue to look at this verse of scripture, because we're going to spend the whole time in verse 23 today. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel. Now, that word counsel here is a decree or a will or a purpose. So by the determinate counsel, by the decision, the will of God, the purpose of God, it was God's will, his plan for redemption for the lost world. Two things here that Peter is explaining in this verse of Scripture. One, it was not that the Lord Jesus was weak and he just finally was tired and so he surrendered and he was arrested and then he was put to death. It was not because of any weakness of the Lord Jesus. Any weakness of God. And it was not because Jesus could not have defended himself. Because the scripture tells us that if he would have desired, he could have called 12 legions of angels. If my number is right, I think that's 72,000 angels he could have beckoned if he chose to. So it was not because he was weak, it was not because he could not defend himself. Rather, he was delivered by the deliberate purpose of God. Let's go back to Matthew. Chapter 26, verse 53 and 54. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled, that thus it must be? Jesus was delivered by the deliberate purpose of God. Now we come on to that word again, foreknowledge, once again. That word foreknowledge means seeing beforehand the event that's coming. And our God has the foreknowledge of everything. And he knew exactly how his son would be treated. He knew exactly what was going to happen here. Let's go to Romans, Acts, Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That was the purpose of our Father sending his Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross. To die on the cross. As we look at that word propitiation up here in this 25th verse, a place of propitiation, it is used in the same words as a mercy seat. And the mercy seat was sprinkled with the atoning blood on the Day of Atonement. One day of the year, on that Day of Atonement, the high priest went into the Holy of Holies. Now, if you've never studied the tabernacle, I ask this question all the time, you know, what did Moses receive up on Mount Sinai? And the answer is almost always the Ten Commandments, and that is correct. But he also received the plans to the tabernacle. And there's a big difference here because the law kills. You're dead because of the law. We can't keep it. But he brought the tabernacle, the plans to the tabernacle, and that was their means of salvation. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus, very clearly. So sad that nobody acknowledges that or sees that. So as we look at this 23rd verse here, back in Acts chapter 2, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, yet have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So my point is here, even though it was the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, Peter still declares, him ye have taken. You see, there's still guilt here. Yes, it was God's plan, but these people had a choice. And their choice was to go out and one minute be crying, Hosanna, the next minute crying, crucify him, crucify him. Now, where are you today? Where are you? Are you one that has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you still on the side of the enemy that you're yelling, crucify him? I hope not, my dear friend. I hope that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus and trust in him. I hope that you recognize today that you're a sinner, you're lost, and you need a Savior. So, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?